Welcome to the March 15th, 2019 edition of the Crypto.IQ Daily Radio Show, where we do a deep dive market analysis every day and cover the most interesting stories in the Bitcoin and crypto space. This is your host, Space Marine, live from space. So Bitcoin's actually on an uptrend this morning after being in the doldrums yesterday and the day before, pretty much. Bitcoin was stuck near 30 or 50 for almost 3 days straight. And this morning, it's actually rising a little bit. It is at 38.85 currently. It was as high as 38.92. So we're seeing Bitcoin trying to test that $3,900 resistance level this morning on a very slow uptrend, but that's a positive sign. There's more buying pressure than selling pressure. Bitcoin has to break $3,900 to have any sort of rally at all. And then if we break $3,900, we're immediately going to be looking at $4,200, because $4,200 has been the long-term resistance level. If we could really, truly break $4,200 and go past that, that would be the start of a true bull run, probably. It would be very exciting. So we're just watching and waiting for Bitcoin to make a move at $3,900. It's testing it this morning, and today's going to be a day of testing $3,900. And then our support level continues to be $3,700. And that has to hold, or Bitcoin could end up sliding down to $3,100, which is the long-term support level and bear market low. That would be very underwhelming and unexciting if Bitcoin decided to break down below $3,700 and then go to $3,100. That would just really be depressing, so hopefully that doesn't happen. As for the rest of the crypto market, it's following Bitcoin. So the past several days, it's been a mixed market, and this morning it's mixed too, because when Bitcoin's barely moving, the crypto market, the other major cryptocurrencies tend to go in their own directions based on their own fundamentals, merits, and speculation. It is a bit mixed this morning, actually, but it's mostly up. Ethereum is up 1.6%. It's over $135 now. $14.2 billion market cap. So that's well ahead of Ripple. Ripple's down at a $13 billion market cap. Remember earlier in, like, 2018, Ripple was actually ahead of Ethereum at points. But now it's well behind Ethereum. So Ripple is actually neutral on the day. It's up like 0.01%. It's just over 31 cents. Litecoin is at $58. It's up 3.5% this morning. So Litecoin has been on a persistent rally. And this morning it's gaining back some of the losses from the past week. And maybe it's about to go back into rally mode. Litecoin has went up from like $24 during the bear market low all the way up to like over $58 where it is now. It's the number four cryptocurrency. It's ahead of EOS. EOS is up 2.7% this morning. Bitcoin Cash is actually the big winner of the day somehow. It's up 5.7%. It's near $139, $2.45 billion market cap. And then we have Binance Coin. Binance Coin has actually been on average rallying this week, as it has been the past several weeks. Binance Coin's up 1.8%. So Binance Coin has been rallying because of the Binance DEX. So the testnet for the Binance DEX has launched, but the mainnet is not yet live, and there's been no announcement yet on when the mainnet's going to go live. But the Binance DEX has the potential to be the biggest decentralized exchange, which is DEX, in the world, and it runs on the Binance chain. And the Binance chain only accepts Binance Coin as the token which you could use for transaction fees. And up to now, Binance Coin has been a token on the Ethereum blockchain, and it's going to move to the Binance chain. So that's pretty big news. It's becoming its own blockchain. And that's what's been causing the rally. Stellar is actually down 2.6% this morning. So Stellar was listed on Coinbase Pro as of 2 days ago. At least that was when the listing announcement was. It goes through a few steps until trading becomes live on Coinbase Pro. And soon after it gets listed on Coinbase Pro, it will probably go live on Coinbase. So Stellar has been added to Coinbase, basically. And just like Ripple, it rallied like maybe 5 or 10% right when that listing was announced. But now it's going down, and overall, it's not really gaining much from the Coinbase listing. So Ripple had the same issue. In the past, when coins were added to Coinbase, they would rally a lot, like a real persistent long-term rally. Like when Bitcoin Cash and Ethereum and Litecoin were added to Coinbase, they really rallied. But Ripple and Stellar have not really rallied at all from being listed on Coinbase. But Stellar's at number 8, $2 billion market cap is just ahead of Tether, just below Binance Coin. Tron is up 0.7%. So Tron rallied a lot earlier this year. It was one of the top cryptocurrencies performance-wise, maybe in like January or so. But it's been steady and kind of volatile, sideways trading action since then. It's still a coin to watch, though. It's like a competitor of Ethereum. But Ethereum's getting better now that the fork is over. So, like, Ethereum had that Constantinople hard fork, which caused a lot of anxiety and stress and uncertainty. The fork is finally over. Of course, there's going to be another fork in a year, but that's not something to worry about right now. But anyways, Tron will have a harder time competing with Ethereum, at least for the next several months. Okay, it looks like Cardano is actually the big winner of the day. It's up 6.5%. Cardano is another Ethereum competitor. It's been doing pretty good recently. It's at number 11 on CoinMarketCap, $1.3 billion market cap. Heading down the list to Bitcoin SV, it's up 1.3%. Monero up 1.1%. IOTA up 2.4%. That's the number one directed acyclic graph cryptocurrency, which is a different sort of blockchain that's better for the storing scientific data and databases in general. Dash up 2.1%. And then heading down the list to Dogecoin, it's up 0.5%. So basically the whole crypto market's up today besides Stellar. And it's kind of surprising because Stellar was literally, it's getting listed on Coinbase. It should be rallying, but Stellar's actually going down because it pumped when that listing was announced. And now it's kind of dumping a little bit. So that's a little unusual for a Coinbase listing. So I would call this a bullish morning. Finally, we're having some bullish sentiment. And the total crypto market cap has actually risen from $134.5 billion 24 hours ago to right now, it's around $136.5 billion. It was as high as $137 billion earlier this morning, like an hour ago. So the total crypto market cap has gained $2 billion. And that's all pretty good news. It's a bullish morning, finally. But Bitcoin really has to break that $3,900 level for us to have a rally. If it could break $3,900 today, it would be a nice rally day, finally. And the market could use that. So we actually have a couple of really interesting news stories this morning. So Mark Karpeles actually did not go to prison. So his trial just ended. The Japanese court convicted him of falsifying data, basically. So he's been charged with electronic record tampering. And the court says that's true and it deserves punishment. And he's been sentenced to a 4-year suspended sentence with 2.5 years of prison if he violates his suspended sentence. So this is kind of like probation in the United States. That's the equivalent. So he's kind of on probation for 4 years. And if he doesn't do anything wrong, like if he doesn't smoke any weed or, you know, get in a car violation or something, but basically if he just stays indoors and like doesn't do any drugs, so like he won't be going to prison. So that's like really unexpected. Like Mark Karpeles was the CEO of Mt. Gox, and Mt. Gox was probably the most epic Bitcoin exchange collapse in history. It was like the number one Bitcoin exchange in the early days, like the only Bitcoin exchange for a while early on. And in early 2014 it totally collapsed. And it lost 850,000 Bitcoins, and then they found 200,000 Bitcoins. And they're going to reimburse the people that were customers of Mt. Gox eventually soon. I thought it was supposed to happen already in like February, but it didn't happen yet. But anyway, so they found 200,000 Bitcoins, and that's worth more than the Bitcoins that were lost. And everyone's going to get a full refund in terms of fiat, but not in terms of Bitcoin. So it's not really a full refund. But anyways, people expected Mark Karpeles to get, like, basically hanged by the court. Like, they thought, like, wow, he's going to prison. Like, the talk, like, yesterday or the day before is, like, he might be going to prison for 10 years. Now he's not going to prison at all. Because, like, he got a really good deal here. He just has to not do anything wrong for 4 years. And I'm sure he's scared straight at this point. So, yeah, he just has to chill in his apartment and not do anything wrong. And he won't be going to prison. So this might be causing a riot online. I haven't really seen anything yet, but I'm sure like somewhere on Reddit or Bitcoin Talk, people are going crazy. A lot of the internet and crypto space held Mark Karpeles responsible for the great loss at Mt. Gox, but now the court is saying he did not steal any money. He was charged with embezzlement, which basically means stealing from the company, but he was not convicted of that and he was found not guilty of that. So a lot of people online thought Mark Karpeles stole the money, but there was also another tale or story of how this went down. Basically, Mt. Gox got hacked much earlier than this, and then Mark Karpeles like changed the records, and he tried running Mt. Gox in a fractional reserve, which means he did not have all the Bitcoins, in the hopes of earning the Bitcoins back and not letting anyone know that they got hacked, and then eventually everything would be fine. But what happened is the Bitcoin price started crashing from the Silk Road being shut down, and then people were trying to sell their Bitcoins and stuff, and it didn't work out. So there was like a run on Mt. Gox, and then there was not enough Bitcoins to like pay everyone back. So that kind of like, what the court is saying is that's what happened. Like, Mt. Gox got hacked, and then Mark Karpeles tried to cover it up by changing the records, which is illegal, and then Mt. Gox collapsed. So that's what he's being charged with. Some other people, like I just said, think he stole the money. So I guess the controversy and the mystery is going to continue probably forever, But Mark Capellas, the story is he's not going to prison. That being said, I saw a story maybe a week or two ago that in the United States, I think it was in Illinois, they ruled that they could charge him and bring him to court in the United States despite the Japanese trial. So it's still possible that Mark Capellas is still going to be in trial in the United States. However, since he's on probation, it's not going to be that easy for the United States to get him over to the United States. Like, if he's on probation in Japan, he has to stay in Japan until his four-year sentence is done, and thus Japan extradites him to the United States for a trial. So that might be ongoing, and we'll see how that unfolds. He's definitely not out of the woods yet, but so far, he has survived the Japanese case, and everyone thought the Japanese courts were definitely going to convict him. I don't think anyone thought he was going to get away with just probation for 850,000 bitcoins disappearing. Anyways, moving on to the next story, which is also really interesting. So the CBOE, the Chicago Board Options Exchange, was one of two Bitcoin futures markets in the United States, and the other one's the Chicago Mercantile Exchange. So the CBOE has basically announced that they are closing down the Bitcoin futures there. They said they are not adding a CBOE Bitcoin futures contract for trading in March 2019, and they are assessing its approach with respect to how it plans to continue offering digital assets for derivatives trading. While it considers its next steps, it does not currently intend to list additional Bitcoin futures contracts for trading. But the remaining contracts, which last until June, will still be traded. Because there's contracts that are longer than 1 month, and the last one expires in June. So the last contracts that are there will be traded to the end. And then that looks like it's about it. So what happened here is that CME has been absolutely crushing CBOE. CME, the Chicago Mercantile Exchange Bitcoin futures, which runs through Globex, and we've talked about that a lot. They have a big pull over the Bitcoin market, so they have way more volume than CBOE. So basically, CBOE was crushed by CME, and most of the customers were going to CME. So CBOE basically said, yeah, this isn't worth it anymore, and they're closing it down. And that leaves CME, the Chicago Mercantile Exchange Bitcoin futures, with an absolute monopoly over Bitcoin futures in the United States. So some people are saying this is good news because the CBOE Bitcoin futures are gone. And why is that good news? Well, Bitcoin futures like these on CME and CBOE are cash settled. They're USD completely. They involve no actual Bitcoins. So the end result is these Bitcoin futures contracts represent printing paper Bitcoins. So when one of these contracts is issued, it's like printing paper Bitcoins. And also, they've generally been adding short selling pressure to the markets. So the day the CME Bitcoin futures launched on December 17, 2017 is the day Bitcoin started to crash from that $20,000 level down to where it is now below $4,000. The CME Bitcoin futures run via Globex have had a major impact on the Bitcoin markets. We've talked about that over and over on Crypto.IQ and on this show. So it's good news that one of those markets is gone. CBOE was not as bad as CME, actually, because CBOE does not run through Globex, but it was paper Bitcoins. It was applying short-selling pressure. But then here's the bad news. From my perspective, CME has a monopoly now. So all the people that do Bitcoin futures in the United States are going to be going to CME. So I don't think this is really good news in the end. It makes CME more powerful. And CME is the one that really crushed the Bitcoin market, not CBOE. The launch of CBOE Bitcoin futures did not coincide with the collapse of the Bitcoin market. And I'm not sure it even really contributed to it, because the key X factor here is Globex. Globex is the same people that runs the COMEX, which is the gold futures market in New York. And COMEX totally controls the gold price in the whole world, even though it's paper gold pretty much. So they have hundreds of times more paper gold than the actual gold they have in reserves. And they control the gold market, which is $10 trillion market versus Bitcoin's less than $100 billion market. So the Globex easily controls the gold market, which is way bigger than the Bitcoin market. So Globex easily controls the Bitcoin market. It's like shooting fish in a barrel for them. It's such a small market for them. And now CME and Globex has more power. They're the only game in town for Bitcoin futures. So that's pivotal, crucial news. I don't think much is going to change from CBOE disappearing, because CME is the real big game in town. So I don't expect any changes on the markets. A final piece of interesting news for today is that the MakerDAO, which is a decentralized autonomous organization, which runs the DAI, D-A-I stablecoin, and that's actually listed on Coinbase, they're kind of running like a central bank or something. So the price of DAI actually declined below a dollar, And I'm looking at this chart here. It was at like 98 cents, but like really volatile. So it's on average around 98 cents in like from the middle of February to the end of February. And then into March, early March, it declined as low as like 95 cents, maybe 94 cents. And so what they do for this is they have a stability fee. And they increase the fee, and that's supposed to bring DAI back to a dollar. So they increased the fee four times now. And that now it's up to 3.5%. And this reminds me of like the Federal Reserve increasing the Fed funds rate or decreasing the Fed funds rate. So they got like this sort of central bank mechanism here to keep the DAI stablecoin actually stable. So they increased it to 3.5% and it briefly went up to a dollar like on the 12th, like a few days ago, but now it's declined back to like 98 cents. So now they're having a debate, should we raise it again? And someone's saying, oh, we should raise it to 7.5%. And then someone else is like, no, let's just do 5.5%. So that's really interesting that there's actually a stablecoin out there that actually has a central bank sort of mechanism that's raising a fee that's supposed to bring the coin back to stability. So that's kind of like a hybrid of our fiat system where we have the Federal Reserve and then the blockchain system. In general, stablecoins have always had a very hard time actually staying stable. The best example is Tether, USDT. And Tether had a really bad situation in October and November 2018. It actually went as low as like 90 cents, maybe below 90 cents on some exchanges because they lost their bank in Puerto Rico. Like originally they lost their bank at Wells Fargo and then they went to Puerto Rico and they lost their bank at Puerto Rico. And then they just didn't have a bank for like over a month. Then they eventually got a bank in the Bahamas, Deltec Bank in the Bahamas. And so Tether is like the number one stablecoin. It still is. It's over $2 billion market cap as I talk right now. And it's actually going down a little bit because I talked about the news yesterday. Tether says they're not backed by 100% cash in a bank anymore like they're supposed to be. They're backed by assets and collateral and cash equivalents now, including also the cash reserves at the bank. So I've seen an unwinding of the Tether market cap. Now it's approaching $2 billion, like heading downwards. But anyways, Tether was almost at a $3 billion market cap, and then like they lost their bank. They went as low as 90 cents. And in general, stablecoins have always had a very hard time of staying at a dollar. So, and that Tether's crisis that almost led to a collapse, but it survived, obviously, caused the rise of all these other stablecoins like USD Coin, which is from Coinbase and Circle, the Gemini Dollar, Paxos Standard, and then we also got MakerDAO and DAI over here. And yeah, so it's always been a struggle for these stablecoins to stay at a dollar. I think some of these smaller ones like USD Coin is staying at a dollar because it's backed 100% by cash in the bank. And Circle and Coinbase are never going to lose their bank accounts. So USD Coin might be the best contender here. But yeah, the story of DAI, and now they're having like a central bank raising the fees. And the stability fee actually makes it harder to use DAI. Like people lose money just from like trying to redeem it or something, I think, or issue it. So it's kind of like not really fair to the users that they're not getting 100% of their money when they're using DAI, and that's just to bring DAI back to a dollar. So yeah, the concept of stablecoins is like you keep cash in a bank and then it stays at a dollar per coin, and then you use it as like a USD equivalent, but that has not been working really good in the real world. Like ideally and theoretically it should work, but in the real world we've seen these stablecoins always deviating from the value of $1. So that's all I have for you today on this March 15th, 2019 edition of the Crypto.IQ Daily Radio Show. Come back tomorrow for another exciting episode and go to Crypto.IQ for the most interesting stories in the Bitcoin and crypto space. Also join the Crypto.IQ trading desk. They've made over 280% profit since July. So even in the worst of the bear market, they're making money because they know how to go short and long. And if you join the Crypto.IQ trading desk, they'll teach you how to trade like an expert. Like you can see their trades in real time and their full analysis, and they have really expert analysis, really detailed, and you can read all of it with each trade. And then you can ask them as many questions as you want in real time. So join that Crypto.IQ trading desk today, and there's a 2-week free trial, so there's no risk to join, and I'm sure you're gonna love it. This is your host Space Marine signing out. I remain in space.